Baz, we're back, mate. The sporting spotlight, of course, brought to us by Air Diffusion Australia. Great company. If you want the best air conditioning anywhere in Australia, Air Diffusion Australia.
And you know, Phil, we say that a lot. And they are a good sponsor. We know that. But it's not just saying it. I've got their system.
Yep.
And I tell you, it is
pretty good.
Oh, it's the best thing I've
ever done. I've spoken to Bill and putting one in my place, and the three daughters.
Best thing we've ever done.
And they're ripping blokes too. And the ripping ladies that work here as well. So not because they sponsor the show, but they're great. Talk about great men. Now, this place has been in the industry over 50 years.
Yeah.
A little bit of a chat in outside in the car park. As usual, you were running late, so it gave us plenty to talk about. We're talking about Terry Lindblom, Vegas Promotions, probably the best promotion company in Australia.
They are. Right?
So nothing but the big names. Terry joins us. Terry, how are you, mate?
Thanks, guys.
Part two.
Barry.
Mate, you're looking well, too.
Just coming from the gym.
Have you?
Yeah, always training.
You've had some amazing celebrities over the journey. I know there's rock bands and there's sporty people. We've covered the globe. So we've got a list of names. We want to ask you about some that we've chosen, mate. So let's start at the top. What about Jacko?
Oh, Jacko. I could tell you a million stories about Jacko. We used to be good mates. I was the best man at his wedding. I'm the godfather of one of his children. He's got three boys. No, he's got three boys and a girl. But I don't have anything to do with him for 15 years. Oh. He was doing Chopper Reed with me. And I always thought Mark had a good side and a bad side, but the good side was an act, and did some terrible things to me, did some terrible things to Chopper. Chopper wanted to shoot him in the arse at one stage. It's a true story. And I said, I won't tell you what he did.
As you do.
It had to do with this money. And he said, because Chopper used to stay at my place, at Malvern, all right? And he was one of the best people, I've told you before, one of the best acts I've ever brought into town. He was a terrific bloke. Barry, I'll tell you the same thing. Just a nice bloke.
Chopper?
Yep.
Yeah.
And never attacked a squarehead like us. You know, he always did the bad people. But Jacko, he was a prankster. He did terrible things. But Chopper one day, he said to me over breakfast, he said, I can't do Chopper. I can impersonate most people. I can't. He said, I'm going to shoot him in the ass. I said, Mark, you'll go back to jail. He said, I'm just going to shoot him in the ass. I said, you'll go back to jail. So we go out, we'd have lunch. On the way back from lunch, he'd say, but I just want to shoot him in the ass. I said, you can't, Mark, you'll go back to jail. That night, we'd do the gig, we're driving home. I'm going to shoot him in the ass. I said, Mark, you know, you've got a wife, kids, you know. So I talked him out of it. But a million things went on. Chopper had a sense of humour. And he used to call him Sad Sack. If you see Sad Sack, where's Sad Sack? Yeah, and I can tell you some stories about what went on. But Jacko was always, and his wife, ex-wife, is still a friend of mine. In fact, I was over in Bali. Her and her husband have got a beautiful mansion in Bali, and I went over and stayed with my girl, Jenny, just recently. We were 9 days there. And we got drinking on the red wine every night. We had this whole place to ourselves, 8 rooms, huge swimming pool, unbelievable. You know, getting off that. Jacko was always playing. He was always playing jokes on you. That was his gig, you know. And right. So we're down at, and I never got one on him, right? So we're down at the Horizons. They used to call it Horizons in those days. Down at the Grand Hotel, you know, with the grab a granny out. But, and we're there having a drink, and he said, "You know, you're not as fit as me." I said, "What do you mean I'm not as fit as you? I'm fitter than you. And I've got a cigarette and I'm drinking." He said, "Yeah, you don't, you know." He was always trying to put you down. I said, "Mate, I'm fitter than you." I said, "I can outrun you anywhere." He said, "You can outrun me." I said, "Just try me, fat guts, you know." Because we were good mates in those days.
Yep.
He said, "Right, you're on. Tomorrow morning." I said, "Where are we going to run?" He said, "We'll run from your place, Malvern, to Glenelg." I said, "You're on." This is a true story.
Good run.
So he thought about it and he used to chew ice. He came over about half an hour later, he said, "I'm not fucking running with you." Well, I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I'm not running with you fucking in my ear. I'm not doing that." I said, "What do you do?" He said, "Well, I'll take off and you start 5 minutes after." I thought, "Thank you." thank you, Lord. So I got up at 9 or 10 o'clock and we had a big night. I'm into his room. "Come on, out of bed, Porky. What are you? Come on, we're going for a run. Remember the run? You know." I said, "Mark, we've got $100 on this. Come on." So I finally got him up. His missus has got him Vaseline. He's running Vaseline. I'm in my track seat, you know. He's ready to go. "You're not thinking running me." I said, "I've got no intention of running with you. You know, you go and I'll go 5 minutes down." And he's saying, "If you make sure he's doing the right thing, don't, you know, the girl's going to make sure you're not getting a taxi or something." I said, "I'm not getting a taxi. We'll run." So he's got He's got up, he's Vaseline'd up, he's got a headband, you know, he's off, you know, and he's not a very good runner. You know, it's like a steam train. So I waited for about 5 minutes. I've got in the back of the car, I'm laying down having a cigarette, you know, and they're saying, because someone was in my car, she was driving me because she, his girl, had to keep an eye on me. And I forget who was watching him, all right? So I'm laying in the back of the car, and he's gone down, he's hit crossroads, and he's turned on the crossroads, and he's going like a fiddler's elbow, you know? And he's really... And he got down, there's a big school there on crossroads, big girls' school. Big...
Wilderness?
Wilderness down north. You get over get over Goody Road,
yeah,
and it's on the left.
Oh, I can see.
Cabra. Big, anyway, Cabra, is it Cabra?
No,
not Cabra.
With a huge, anyway, you know, big, long brick, 7-10 feet brick wall, right? So she's got it to him before that, and she said, Terry's doing all right, but you're doing really well, your time's good. So he's rooted. So we get down, I said, quick, pull down around the corner by the school, which we did, and I jumped out of the car and leaned on the wall with a cigarette, and he's, and they're saying, you know, you're doing really well, and she's pulled up in the car there, I'm hiding behind the wall, and as he ran past, she said, yeah, you're going really well, Mark, you're outpacing Terry and everything, and I said, yep. You're really going well. And he took about 3 steps before he realised. Yeah, fucking did he go off his tits? I said, Tony, he got in the car, all right, drove back to my place, made her pack a bag and went home. The big sook. But he loved doing it to other people, right?
Didn't like it.
Jesus, I enjoyed that.
Did you?
He was, he had to be there.
Always good. Mate, Neil Curley, great mate of mine. Unfortunately, no longer with us.
Yeah, good bloke, Neil. Yeah, good
Teddy man. Whitney. Plenty of stories about Teddy Whitney. Well, you had a good relationship with Teddy.
Yeah. Whenever I brought Ted into town, the first thing was, oh, it curls, you know. They were great mates. And he told me a story once. I'll get onto the other story in a minute. But he told me a story once that they were playing on the Adelaide Oval thing. And he gave Curley one late in the quarter. Do you remember the story? And Curley couldn't get to him. And he said, I'm going to get you, Whitten, for this, all right? But they were great mates, right? So Whitten's pissed off after the game. Curley's gone looking for him. He couldn't find him. He's found it with the motel they sustained in those days. So he's gone to the motel and he's banging on the door. And Whitten's saying, piss off, Curley, I'm busy. He said, open the door. He said, piss off. So in the end, Curley's knocked the door open. And there's Ted doing what Ted did, you know? They both started laughing. He said, I told you I was busy. Apparently, that's a true story.
Curls told me the same story.
The other one,
the extension of that was Curls told me that Ted did get him, got him pretty good.
Yeah.
He said he chased him for 2 quarters and he finally caught him. Yeah. He said, where do you reckon I caught him? He said, I don't know. He said, we're standing right next to the umpire.
He ran and hit him. But I used to bring, and he was a good bloke, I used to bring him into town all the time. The first time I brought him into town, I had Crackers Keener with me, a big Crackers. And we'd done about 3 or 4 shows. And we were up in the country somewhere and Teddy had to pee every now and obviously was starting the prostate cancer. He had to stop her pee. And he's in the toilet and Cracker's sitting in the back of the car, you know, Cracker's like. And he said, yeah, you're all right, boy. He said, what do you mean? Because Cracker's on you well. He said, he likes you. He doesn't like a lot of people, you know. So we were good mates. He said, what's wrong with the shoes? I said, I didn't know you were Fred. So these are the worst shoes I've ever had. I said, I bought them 3 months ago and they were falling apart. And when he went back the next week, there's a knock at the front door. The guy with a brand new pair of Adidas shoes. Try these. That's all it said. Try these. Ted. You know? Anyway, we did this show one night and it's the football club. I don't remember the name. It might be Renowned Park. You know where the... you come down... Is it Torrens Road?
Fitzroy?
Yeah. Off to the right there. I reckon it was there. And I had... Oh, again, I remember Teddy Whitten, Crackers Keenan. The big dark-headed bloke that came out was supposed to be a bit of a tough guy. Played for Torrens, I reckon. Dark hair. Had a bit of reputation.
Robbie Mueller?
No. Tall, 6'2". Anyway, a big group there. And they're going through and giving their talks. And I came to Teddy because he was the act of the night. And the place had been 200 people. And Teddy got up and started speaking. And this big ruckman, he'd be 28, 30, tattoos, big bloke, all right? And he started, Victorian crap. And Teddy, you wouldn't have understood Teddy on a football field because after about 3 or 4 minutes, this bloke taunting him, Teddy's throwing the microphone down the stairs. Get outside to this bloke, right? And he's walked out the door, took his jacket off over his shoulder out the door. So everything went quiet. The room all sat there for a while, you know. And Cracker said, he won't come back. So I went out there and he's in the car park, just outside the door. He said, get him out of here. Now, Teddy would have been 50-something then, all right? And I said, get him out of here. So I went back in. And one of the time he's sitting with his mates, a big mate. I said, mate, Teddy wants to see you outside. Teddy wants to see you outside now. You know, he's a 6 foot four, big. Mm. Want to know about it. I said, mate, I'm a bit piss weak, you know. He's an old man, you won't go outside. So I went to Teddy and I said, Ted, he didn't want to come out. He said, get him. I said, Teddy, he won't come out. And Teddy said, I'm going home. And he walked off the dirt track. I can see him now. I said, Teddy, he said, no, you know, that bloke's upset me. So I had him in the motel next to Braestead, the nightclub on Greenwood Road.
Braestead, yeah.
So we've all gone back there for a drink. And I rang Teddy up in his room. I said, Teddy, what are you doing? He said, I said, come over and no. He said, that bloke's upset me. Jesus, you imagine, this is a 55-year-old man. You imagine what he was like if you hit him in a football field.
30, yeah.
God, he was, no, but Ted was a terrific bloke. Yeah. Really nice bloke.
Outstanding bloke.
Wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Mm.
Had him at Albert in a couple of times.
Yep.
And, just a great guy. You know, you think he's, people thought, oh, you know, here he is, a big mouth, Victorian or whatever. Yeah. But he played it beautifully, didn't he? He played it magnificently. Yeah. And once people got to know him in SA, don't forget, he pranced down the Arundel Mall in his underwear and all that, didn't he, as well, yeah, for a bet with girls, I think that might have been.
Yeah.
So, you know, the guy had a bit of... He had a lot of personality, Teddy Whitten. He was just
his nickname was Sir Lunchalot. He rang Adidas after 1 o'clock, he's gone. Mm. He was only in the morning. You wouldn't see him in the afternoon. You'd say he was going to meetings, but we knew where he was going.
Sir Lunchalot, yeah.
But just getting on that off the subject for a second, Barry and I, well, Barry did them, but I supplied the Port Adelaide Football Club for 25, 30 years with their luncheons, all right?
Yep.
Barry was the best and the most funniest compere of them all down at Port Adelaide. And he knew everybody in the room. He worked it well. And we'd get 380 to 500 people down there.
No problem.
He'd brain them. Great, great gigs, and they were great days. They don't do them anymore.
Because? And
I don't know. Ask Barry. Political correctness and all that sort of crap.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. No,
is it political?
Well, who knows what it was.
It was so good.
It was a very bad decision in the end, a very ordinary decision to stop them.
Mm.
But once you stop something like that, it's just hard to get it back.
I know that.
And it was I don't know who made the decision down there, but it was just a ridiculous one because you're killing a little golden goose. That, you know, that was they just regularly, mate, you would get 450, no problem.
You'd have 150 people booked in before you opened the doors.
So you really need to have a function now where you go, come in, but it'll be not politically correct. If you want it to be politically correct, don't come.
I had a guy.
So it's just going to be fun.
I totally agree.
That's very interesting you say that. I had a guy, I can't tell you who said, would you come and do, in town here somewhere, a non-political correct hour.
Yeah.
Would you come along with a couple of other guys, forget who the other guys were, and do this because I'm sick to death of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it because at that stage I was working with Port Adelaide.
Yeah.
And if you went slightly off the rails and somewhere and said something, they'd jump on you.
I mean, most clubs
club's gone.
Oh, it might be something for Vegas Promotions to get onto,
huh? I had a meeting down there just recently. The club's fantastic. They've done it up. Absolutely. Have a look.
It was great.
It
was great.
Have you been there?
But you know, members can't eat upstairs there.
What do you mean?
Well, they're not allowed to. They have to eat downstairs now.
But they can't see
it. It's ridiculous, mate, what they've done down there. I don't care what anyone says.
It looks good.
The punters don't like it. The punters love the place.
Yeah.
But what they've done is that you used to be able to sit up there, have a meal, watch the training and watch whatever was going on.
Mm.
Fantastic, as you can see, the beautiful balcony.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't eat up there anymore. You order up there and eat downstairs, where there's no windows.
So who's upstairs during the game?
They're not doing anything up there, mate.
Is that right?
This is the problem. We're off subject. And that club is not the club I grew up supporting,
off. But Barry, all the clubs, it's an AFL club.
Well, it's ridiculous now, you know. Well, I know they're nice and inclusive now, which is terrific.
Who are?
Right, let's get back to funny stuff.
Yeah,
I agree. One of the funniest blokes ever, Greg Ritchie.
Oh, Greg.
And I know we talk about political correctness, and of course that stopped him being...
I could tell you many stories about Greg, but I've got a couple here. Matt McCartney, have we still done the Christmas party? I've got a million stories about those guys, but I'm just telling one at a time.
Well, he was brilliant. That was really sad that, he had to stop doing the Mahatma big, that was one of the great acts.
He made a bloody fortune, I tell you.
Well, I know he did, I know he did. You know, when he first started, he was getting from us, from Hooksy and I on 5AA when we first started him off, a carton of West End sent to his home.
He had a shed full and he didn't drink it.
Sent to his home in Queensland.
Right.
That's what he did the show for. Then all of a sudden he was 5,000 a gig. Just overnight.
One night after the Sydney footy show, he had to go somewhere in a hurry and he was dressed up as and he got in a taxi and the guy driving the taxi was an Indian.
Oh no.
Yeah. Oh. And they had a fist fight on the side of the road. What are you doing? On the side of the road. He's dressing in because he was insulting the Indian, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if they come to punches, but they're push and pull. You know? He had to get out of the taxi.
It's just ridiculous how they stopped him. I don't care what anyone says. You know, the guy was very funny. And, you know, I mean, it's comedy. And you know,
the funny part of it for me is that when I talk to Richie, he's got some unbelievably good Indian mates.
Yeah.
So yes. It's not like he's not racist. Exactly, he's just enjoying and making. And they actually like
it. And they loved it as well, yeah.
Coca-Cola used to book him an act off me every year at the cricket.
Yeah.
Before the cricket, they'd have a bunch up in the stand. They'd have a special stand made up. And they'd have a stand of it. And this year, Greg Ritchie. And I think the Australians were playing the Indians. And complaints from people because he was just up in Indian, and it was the night before he was at dinner with the whole mob of them, the captain of the team and the manager and everything. They're all mates, but these wankers. Oh no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we talk about impersonations, and you've had some that do exceptional ones. Mm. Your Sam Newman impersonation is about as close as I reckon you could get to thinking Sam's in the room. You obviously spent a lot of time with.
Oh yeah,
Sam.
But
we talked about him last time, but we should touch on
Sam is very easy to impersonate. If you get to know him, all right, he's got certain attributes. Mm. I'm just trying to think something that he'd say. I love him because he'll get something in his claw and he won't let it go. Why would you do that? Now, Terry, why would you do that? Now, that is, but why would you do that? Now, Terry, why would you do that? Yeah. And he'll go on and on about, that is ridiculous. You know, the one I liked was, he was with the big ruckman, my favourite ruckman, I think the best ruckman I've ever seen, Max Gawn.
Yep.
And on the footy show, they used to take him out. Sam's got a real thing about, I hope he doesn't hear this, Sam's got a real thing about farting. You know, he likes a lot away from the, you know.
Yep.
I might have told you, we're walking across, and Dougie knew about it. Have I told the story before? Dunstall knew about it. He just hates farting and stuff, I don't know. So we're walking, it was Grand Prix, 3:30 in the morning, we're all drunk, and we're heading to the hotel motel, where he's staying on the corner of West Terrace and South Terrace. And we're walking across the car park, and there's four blokes in the dark. We're walking along, and I farted. Dougie ran over and started, he was laughing the moment he was holding on the back of a car. Dunstan was going, like, who did that? I said, who did what? Who farted? I did. Why would you do that? Why would you do that, Terry? Well, and he's giving me a lecture at 3:30. I'm pissed. That is just, why would you do that? I was cleaning my teeth one day at a gig at the motel. What are you doing? I said, I'm cleaning my teeth. Why would you clean your teeth in front of people? I said, I'm cleaning my teeth. He hates all that stuff, but he makes me laugh the way he goes on about it. And I was telling you the story and I got off it. What was I telling you before that?
No, you're walking across the road. No. Sam doesn't like that stuff.
Oh, he hates it.
Yeah.
He gave me a lecture about a minute in the car park about farting, all right? Well, we'll never do that again, you know? And the boys were laughing so much. We went up to the room that night, I'll never forget it, because we're there and we're getting pissed. And I sat on one of those, you know, glass tables.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what are they, you know, you put your drinks on, little tables?
Yeah, little round table.
It broke, and I went down between it and the glass all around me. And, you know, with glass, I'm thinking, if I got glass, if this shot up through my arse, because you wouldn't know about it, would you?
No.
Never got a cut, never even cut my pants.
Wow.
But all this glass around me, a coffee table. Frightened the shit out of me. It's got nothing to do with Sam Yim, but frightened the shit out of me.
Yeah.
But I've got a million stories about Sam. The Singles Club, that's the one I want to tell you about. We did this Singles Club on Main North Road. There would have been 200 people there. You know, cravats and comb overs and plastic shoes. And I was just, you know. Scary night. It was funny. But the girl that ran it had a little room off to the side and she was having cocktails before we went into the room, okay? So we've gone into the room there and we're just having, just chatting, right? And Sam's one of the nicest men you'd ever meet. He's a gentleman. Remind me to tell you about him and the footballer, VY sunglasses, played for Port Adelaide, went up to Queensland, was paraplegic.
Peter Yeo.
Peter Yeo, I'll get to that one. So we're standing there and this girl come through. probably 30, well dressed, not bad looking, all right? And she's straight up to Sam, I'm just saying, have a drink, you know? And she's at the top of her voice, you fucking misogynist, da, 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 da. So I stepped forward to move her out of the room. Sam said, no, no, let her go. And she ranted and raved and pointed her finger, and Sam just stood there with his drink. And I went, he said, no, Terry, let her go, let her go. And he handled it differently than I would have, you know.
Yeah.
He let her go and go and go and go and go until she ran out of steam. He said, are you finished? He said, yeah. Now rearrange these words in the right order. Off, fuck. And everybody, even the women in the room, all clapped him. You know? He said, you let them go too. They ran out of steam, let them kill themselves, which enough rope, you know.
Yeah.
Peter Yeo.
Yep.
Sam told me the story. Peter Yeo's playing in Victoria. He wasn't very good over there, apparently. Baron.
Yeah, he's right.
And Sam, and they're at someone's engagement party in this little room somewhere with Sam's old girlfriend or PDO's, I can't remember, right? And Sam's turned quickly with a glass of red and spilled it all over the future bride's mum's dress. Right? And Sam's really apologetic. He said, oh, look, I'm really sorry. He said, I'll buy you a new dress. And he would. He said, I'll dry clean it. Yo's come around because I've all been drinking. And Peter Yeo would be a bit jealous of Sam, because Peter was a good-looking bloke, but Sam was bigger name around town. He was a state ruckman, yada, yada. He's come around and said, typically you, Sam. Sam, what do you mean? He said, yada, yada. He said, now, Peter, he said, I've apologised to her. He said, I'll get it dry clean. I'll buy her a new dress. I'm sorting that out, all right? Mm-hmm. All right, and he kept on it, Peter. Sam said, mate, go away. And Sam said, I'm not a fighter. But it got to the point where he said, because I was backing off, he said, come outside, all right? And Sam said, I'm not a fighter. So he went outside and he said, I punched the shit out of him. But he said, in doing that, that's why Sam always says to me, walk away, walk away. In doing that, he broke his knuckle.
Ooh.
And back in those days, if you don't play, you don't pay, right?
Yep.
And he said, I missed 2 weeks of football money over Peter Nyo, all right? That's a good explanation for him. He always says to me,
let him go.
Walk away. And I don't always. Well, yeah, I'm old now, but I'm... Especially when I was younger, you don't walk away. But
the Barossa Junction, mate, the sing-along?
Oh, yeah. We did the Barossa Junction. This woman ran me up. I don't want to mention their names, but they're very well-known people, her and her husband, right? And the girl that I'm going out with now, Jenny, she ran the joint up there. I didn't know Jenny. I must have met her that night, but I didn't remember it. And apparently Jenny's mother was sitting on the table with us as well. All right? Helen Bain and Jenny Bain. Anyway, they're sitting with us, all right? So I rolled up with Sam. I think Kevin was the compere, my brother. 250, 300 people in this room. And she's sitting next to me, Sam's sitting there. And they've been drinking, apparently they used to get in it pretty early, you know? So this is 7:30, we're having dinner, right? And she says to me, and she booked it. She said, what is he going to sing? I said, what? He said, what sort of stuff does he sing? I said, he's a footballer. 5 minutes later, she said, have you got a band? I said, he's a footballer. This went on all night. I said, he's a footballer. Footballer. What sort of stuff does he sing? He's not going to sing. I'm not joking. Sam and I got the giggles. I said, he's not going to sing. He's a footballer. Did he used to sing? I said, no. He's a footballer. All right. So we finally get him. Kevin's up doing the compound. The most important thing, and both of you understand this, the PA's got to be good. If the PA's no good, you're stuffed. Because everything sounds like this. So I said to her, make sure you go, state of the art. And it was state of the art, all right? It was one of those you'd know too. In the roof, you know, everything sounds like this. So you can't put any highs and lows in it. You can't. It's one monotone. So Kevin gets up on stage, and he hasn't started it. And he looked over, he said, Terry.
Terry.
Terry. I said, what? He's got, it looked like a big pen, you know those little pencil mics?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're doing a gig with that. I thought, fuck, no, man, Charlie.
Everything sounded like this, you know?
We got through it, all right? But she was hilarious, this woman. She kept asking me, when's he going to sing?
What did he
sing? The husband didn't see the show. He almost had his face in the soup. He went to bed. The whole act. You remember those people? I don't want to say that. Funny.
You would have had some amazing nights though, mate. I mean, you're still going after I don't know how many years, but you know, you'd have to worry every time you go to a function. Is the PA right? Is this right? Is that right?
You always tell
them. Sometimes those PAs, I mean, that's the thing I freak out about most is the PA system. Is it is it good enough? And, you know, you go to some shows and they're terrible. You must have gone to a few where...
I've got one here.
They're just ridiculous.
I've got one here, Greg Ritchie. We did the Jeps Cross.
Yeah.
No, out Smithfield Football Club.
Yeah.
A girl booked it, right? Matt McCoat, Greg Ritchie.
Yep.
And I said, very important. I said, if you've got a DJ in the club or someone get a DJ, make sure you've got a good PA system there, all right?
Yeah.
They're advertising. They put a sign on the door. You know, Greg Ritchie's going to be there. So there was probably 80 people there. Should have been. In those days, it should have been packed.
Exactly.
So we've got there. Greg's out getting changed. I thought I'll just go into the room and have a look. And I walk around. There's no PA. I'm looking for the PA.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, it gets worse. I said, where's the PA system? She said, oh, I left it too late and I couldn't get one. I said, what are we using? And this is not joking.
No, I don't doubt
she
it.
She had
mate.
A plastic, you know those little plastic things you buy for kids in toy shops?
Yeah.
With a little plastic mic?
Yeah.
On, yeah. No. And it was on, she had it hanging in front of on the fishing line.
No.
Well, Greg and I got the giggles. Greg said, no. Are you joking? I said, you couldn't even use it, right?
Yeah.
So Greg did it. He yelled it out.
Yeah.
He had to. But it was, you lose it when you're doing that shit.
Of course you lose it, yeah. You know.
But she was serious.
Yeah.
What about nicknames? You know, you go to a footy club.
Oh, I love nicknames.
They all get nicknames, mate. People we've worked with, they've all got
Some. Well, there's a lot more, but you guys want to come in on this too. I know you've got a few, right? Nicknames.
Yeah.
Duckworth that played for Centrals.
Yeah.
What's a? Yeah.
Yeah.
Royce Hart. Joof. Joof Hart. Peter Sleep, the cricketer, was Sounder.
Sound. That was good.
Now, Rex Hunt, you can put your own to this. Rex Hunt was Usilic. I didn't say that. This is what the footballers come up with the best nicknames, right? But my favourite of all time is, I used to go out and Saturday night and check the bands, right? And my daughter used to come and say, what are you doing here, Dad? I said, this is my band. It's the first time they played. I've just come here for half an hour. You shouldn't be here. I said, Ebba, piss off. It's my daughter. So I'm standing there this night. This girl comes and says, chewing gum. She said, you're Terry Limblom. I said, yeah. She said, yeah, my dad. I said, who's your dad? She said his name. She said, he's the president of South Gordon, the footballer, one of those clubs. I said, I'd know his face, but she said, you might know him by his nickname. I said, what's his nickname? She said, Birdship. I said, why do they call him Birdship? She said, when he played football, he was always on the bench. I told that to Dermot Brewer, and he said, can I use that? I said, that's not mine. But isn't that the best nickname, Birdship?
That's a goodie. Yeah, that's a goodie.
There's always Birdship on the bench. But come on, Barry, you do it. Yeah.
What?
Nickname some guys you played cricket with.
Oh, gee whiz, mate, you put me on the spot there. I can't think of any at the moment. I mean,
what was yours?
There were some bad ones. Well, mine was ridiculous. Mine was still, I think it was in one of those cricket magazines that guessed the, you know, the player or whatever, and people just could not get it.
Yeah.
And my nickname, when you play for SA, the first thing Ciappelli would do would give you a nickname. That's what happened when you went in the room. You would get a nickname. Well, I couldn't get Baz. Because we already had a Baz. Barry Corsby was playing and whatever, so he was Baz. So he said, I've got it, Effie. That's your nickname, Effie. And even I looked at him and going, mate, what is that? And all the other players are going, no idea. People still call me that today when I go to the cricket. They say, F.
Yeah.
And anyway, we couldn't get it. No one could get it. And in the end, he said, right, I'll tell you what it is. He said, the chemical symbol for iron is Fe.
Mm.
Fe. Yeah? And he goes, think about it. Iron curtain. Iron
curtain. Oh, very good.
We should have got that. But that was weird. That was a weird nickname. It was one that stuck. It stuck during my time. But it still sounds weird, and the thing about it is when you get called that in front of other people, you have to explain it. You get called that because but people go, what's that all about?
Good so, yeah. A few times that they said F off. Is that the same?
Yeah. Well, that was another
good good mate of mine. One of my good mates, point. Mike Leary, played down at Port Adelaide, and his dad played too, Dennis Leary. They're both good footballers. You remember Michael, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Good bloke. Yeah. Good bloke, one of my good mates. He had me in tears this night. He told me, we're just chatting, and he told me about back in the old days when the training started in February, anyone would go out there and they'd cull, you know, they'd probably have 120 people and cull them down. They'd have their main players there that are there, you know, their Eberts and whatever. But, you know, you might get one down from the Riverland, whatever, and they'd slowly cull them down. And Michael was telling me there was one guy who turned up every season, and you knew he wasn't going to make it, but he turned up. And they nicknamed, no one knew his name. They used to call him February. February's here. Well, only saw him in February, and he came every year. He never got a game.
February's here.
February's here. They all knew what they were talking about. No one knew his name.
Wonder if he knew.
We had a guy ring me when I was playing with West Torrens. Mm. He ring me from Sydney to say that he's coming over to Adelaide, and he's looking for a club, and this club has been recommended to him.
Footballer?
No, cricket.
Yeah.
West Torrens has been recommended. I said, "Oh yeah, what do you do?" He said, "I'm a left arm quick, and I bat. You know, I can bat in the top order. One to four. You don't see many of them,
yeah.
Mate. When you get here, come out for training. Well, come out and no worries at all." So I told Hawk, "I said, we got this bloke coming, quick left armer who bats in the top order. I said he is exactly what we need in the side at the moment." Hawks go, yeah, for sure, that's right. So I told Crowley about it. Anyway, this night this guy turns up and I look at him and he's dressed up. He's got all the gear on. He's, oh, beauty. So yeah, you go, mate, wah, wah, wah. I said, here's the A-grade net, here's a ball. Just a near new one. Just have a crack at this Rick Darling batting up there, mate. So test player, so, you know, have a crack at him and we'll have a look. Me and Crowley stood back. Watched him do his run up, big mile run up, miles and miles run up, you know. This bloke could be quick, good, right? So he comes flying in at 100 mile an hour and he did not hit the deck. He hit the back of the net on the full. Like he just, you know.
You're joking.
He couldn't bowl a hoop down a hill.
Yeah.
So I let him bowl about three or four balls and then I said, mate, come here. Give me that ball. Here's this ball. I'll just go down that net over there. That's about three nets away. That's the D-grade net, right? He's not even going to get there.
Yeah.
So anyway, I said to Crowley, Hooksy. Let's set Hooksy up, right? So Hooksy's not out there yet. Out he comes. Hook, come here, mate. Hook. Mate, we've got one. And he is sharp. He is real quick. Real quick. So I want you to go in there. And I want you to have a look at him before I unleash him on the rest of the A grade.
Unleash him.
Yeah. And Crowley's down there with me. So Hooks. Yeah, all right, mate. So he goes, puts the pads on. And people who know Hooksy know that when he starts, he's a bit nervy with his feet. He does a little dance, you know, he's not waiting. And this guy's miles back. Got him a new nut. Where you go, mate? David Hooks. This bloke's David Hooks. Wow, you beauty. So in he comes at a 400 mile an hour. And see Hooksy come. Well, it's waiting for him. And it's just miles over here. So it misses everything. Then he does it again and they get out. And me and Hooksy looks up and sees me and Crowley
laughing,
of course.
Did you see him bat?
He's not happy. Huh?
Didn't see him bat?
I didn't have to.
Didn't
have to. But the best part is, my brother David was coaching Port Adelaide at the time.
Yeah.
Captain coach of Port Adelaide. So I rang him. I said, mate, I've got a guy here who's probably, we're very strong, as you know, right, David? Yeah. We're a very strong side. He's just not going to get in our A grade. He could if, you know, but... I know you're short of a quick down there. Can I send him to Alberton? Dave goes, yeah, absolutely, mate. Yeah, absolutely, mate. Yeah, send him down. Yeah, no worries. He's just not going to get a game with us. And we're a very strong unit. So I said to this bloke, whip down to Port Adelaide next Tuesday night.
Yeah.
My brother David is the coach. You go see him and he'll set you up from there and you can... Let a few go down there at Albany. You're a better chance down there. Well, I got a phone call Tuesday night from Dave. My brother, you bastard. I said, what? What are you going to that bloke? What did you send me that goose for? I said, what are you talking about? He was quick. And I didn't see him bat.
Did he ever get a ball on the pitch?
Mate, he came back to us. And this is what reminded me of it when you say about this February guy. Hmm. He never missed a training the rest of the year. He never missed a beat.
Yeah.
And he never got a game.
Couldn't play.
We couldn't play. He wasn't even in the D's. Even when we were short in the D's.
Who did he play for where he came from, Barry?
He came from Sydney. Yeah. He was a taxi driver in Sydney. But he was coming over here to, I don't know what he was coming over for.
Probably play cricket.
I don't really care, really. But it was just, it was a lot of fun. He was a terrific
player. Did you
have a nickname? No. he was a lovely guy who didn't miss a beat. He didn't miss training once. He was there every night and he would go and get drinks for blokes and upstairs. He just wanted to be a part of it.
Another bloke called Gerard Bennett. Gerard played for Southlake, came from Tasmania.
Yes,
played a few games, 20 games for Sydney, and played some games in Melbourne.
Yeah, he did.
And Gerard's a great mate of Dane Swan's.
Yep.
So, but I knew him before I started bringing Dane. I had Dane here on Thursday. Mm. Anyway, he told me this years ago, when he went to Sydney from Adelaide, right, and he's out at training the first night, and same thing. Plugger, plugger, plugger. And he said, Plugger's kicking the ball at me, Terry. It was like a rocket, you know. I couldn't mark it and it was really knocking me over. He said to a couple of guys, what's wrong with Plugger? He said, don't call him Plugger. He was trying to kill him with the football. He said he was really aiming at me, you know. He couldn't catch it, you know.
Yeah.
Plugger, Plugger, Plugger. Don't call him Plugger. And no one said anything. They let him go. For Plugger doesn't like being called Plugger.
Hey, mate, you touched on him before. You did some stuff with Sam and Jason Dunstall, Jason's always just been inducted to the Australian Sports
Hall of Fame. Terrific bloke.
Ripping bloke. He's very quiet, isn't he? He keeps to himself. And any stories about...
He's a funny guy. He's a very funny bloke. Yeah. He's a very, very... doesn't suffer fools. He's very educated. You wouldn't think, but he's a very smart bloke. The one thing about him is we were coming back from Port Augusta or somewhere like that. I can't remember where we did it. He was here for a couple of days. And we were coming back. We had the radio going. And we were listening to 70s, 80s music, whatever. He is unbelievable. He could tell you who sang it and what the band was. He was the best. And Kevin was in the car.
Yeah.
I forget who else was there. We couldn't get near him.
Yeah.
His knowledge of old music, of the 70s, 80s, fantastic. Who was the band? Who was the lead singer? He's a very intelligent bloke.
Yeah.
But a lovely guy.
Yeah, he seems all that.
I had him and Dermot. This just late last year at the Centrals.
Yep.
Together. And Platts was there as well.
And Platts, well, yeah.
Have you ever worked with someone afterwards and gone, I'm never working with them again?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Did I mention him before to you?
Don't know.
Yeah.
You mentioned...
did I mention him last gig? I don't want to do it.
You mentioned Ostentatious to us.
He is the worst act I've ever brought into town.
Yeah.
By a London mile.
Mm.
The worst... Can I get in trouble for saying this? They can't see me because it's factual.
Yeah.
Kerry O'Keefe.
Skull.
Just difficult. Yeah.
Very ordinary work, that one.
Got me off a DUI charge one night. Him and Dougie Walters got me off a DUI charge. Can I say that?
Yeah. Well, you have now. We can always edit it out, but I don't know how they got you off.
Well, we
I don't drink, so I'll never get one.
Don't you drink?
Nah.
Day three, maybe, of a Shield game, SA New South Wales.
Yep.
I'd got some during the day. We're out at night. And I was out with Dougie and Skull and Gus Gilmore.
You're playing the next day?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But so it was only a quiet one.
Yep.
And it was about, I don't know what it was, after midnight or something, and I'm dropping the guys back to the Park Royal where they were staying. And just I'm 50 metres from the Park Royal and behind me.
You were driving the car?
I'm driving. Mm-hmm. Anyway, copper says, the policeman says, he went through a stop sign back there in North Adelaide. You went, I said, no, I didn't, mate. I mean, I wandered through it. I didn't sort of
straight
look and, nothing. No cars, really. I'm the only car in the world at the moment. Anyway, he said, you've been drinking. Back in those days, they didn't have anything on them. So they had to call them. So they had to call the unit to come down to outside the pub. So I get out of the car and I've got Skull, I've got Dougie Walters and Gus Gilmore.
Mm.
Anyway, Dougie gets out and Skull, and they get out of the car, and they're because the pub's just there. And they're going, oh, mate, and the guy looks over and he went, you're Doug Walters. You're Doug Ward, is he? Yeah, mate, yeah. And he, Doug was giving me cigarettes, saying that that's going to help. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. I've got about 400 bourbons. Yeah, that's going to help a lot. So, anyway, I'm smoking away, and he goes, you're Doug, sign here. And so, oh, this is good, Gareth's karaoke. Anyway, big chat, this guy's a cricket freak. And Doug said, if you were down at the Oval today, because the copper said I was there at the Shield game today. He said, well, if you were there, you'd know who that was. Because I got some runs and whatever. And the bloke, he still didn't know, which is okay, didn't worry me. But anyway, he loved the chat. So the breathalyzer pulls up, another guy gets out, and he's not a happy cop. He's one of those.
He's the hero.
You know. Yeah. And he had to sit in the back of the car to do it. So I sat in the back of the car with my mate, copper. And he's looking at it, and I do all the stuff, and he looks at it, and you know when it turns pink or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
This thing went purple, like it was. I'm looking at it going,
oh. Smidge.
And he looked down and he went, you just made it. And I'm looking at the thing and it's all purple. About 12 times over the limit.
Anyway, made a new car.
We get out and he says to his mate, he goes, he just made it. He's just under.
Yeah.
Only just, but he's just under.
Yeah.
And you see the other bloke going, no, he's not. Yeah, you see him arcing up and all that. Well, no. He's just done the test. You couldn't do two tests. You only do one test.
Do you know how many times I've done that? Had people in the car and be pulled over for speeding or whatever. I said, quick, get out. You know, Sam or whoever's with me, Jacko. Yeah. And they're all smiles and look, just be careful just next
be
time.
Be careful.
Yeah. Sam told me the story. He's always into cars. He had a big banger Porsche. You better look, the really big Porsche, right? And he was driving somewhere in the country and he was given it a nudge. This is bloody 25 years ago. And he said, the coppers got onto him and they were radioing ahead, but he was beating him through the town. And he must have been going for about an hour. Every town he got to, he was too fast, they couldn't, and he was really going. And they finally caught him, right? And he was going, he admitted to it. Well, he said, Terry, I did fucking three policemen's balls. He said, he got off though, but he said, I was signing things and fucking footballs and policemen's balls, but it's better than getting your license taken, isn't it?
Yeah.
Same thing. The amount of time that's happened, man, get out of the car.
Well, Chappelle wrote in his book about, which wasn't, it actually wasn't me, it was actually my brother, Paul. We got picked up on Port Road at one stage and Paul had he was driving, and he didn't even know what day it was. But we're only going from Woodville Football Club to Port Adelaide.
That makes it all right.
So it's just around the corner. He's got about six pop dogs on the dashboard. Yeah, yeah, we're and the copper said, I'm going to get you to blow on the bag. Yeah. And this actually happened, and it was one of the funniest things, because they read out in court what you say. And the copper said, I'm going to get you to blow on the bag. And Paul said to him, what are your chips up, mate? That's what he said to him. What are your chips up? And the copper laughed. Yeah. He laughed. Yeah. I was wetting myself. And I come in, I said, let him go, mate. You know, so he said, you stay over there.
Yeah.
You just stay over there. Paul, when we went to court, and I went with him, I drove him there, he read it out. That's exactly what he said. I said that he was going to blow in the bag, and he said to me, what are your chips on? He actually said, what are your effing chips on? And he said, the people in the court all there waiting for their turn.
They'd laugh into it.
What's going berserk?
Did he get off?
No.
No.
No, he didn't get off. No, he got done. He got 6 months. Six months suspended license. That's going back a lot of years, too. That's going, you know, it wasn't. That's not just recent. I mean, I'm not drunk for that.
I'm not proud of it, but we all did it, didn't we? Or you didn't, but...
We all did some stupid things. Of course we did. Yeah, that's right. But just, that was just... Chappelle wrote it in his book that it was me that did it.
Did it? Was your brother?
Which hurt my reputation a lot.
Yeah, I
wouldn't have done that.
So clearly. And learning that late now.
I was actually angry that I didn't think of that line.
Yeah.
Well, good response.
It's a very good line.
Very
good. Before we let you go, there are a lot of blokes in the media that you deal with. There's a lot of media blokes around. Max Stevens.
Oh,
Jacko, mate. Max Stevens, of course, reporter for Channel 7.
I just want to say that Kerry O'Keefe is one of the funniest men speakers in Australia by a London mile.
Yeah.
But he's just
hard to deal with.
Hard work,
Max Stevens?
Max Stevens. Max is an arsehole, all right? he came over, when he first came over from Melbourne, he got out of the television over there and he came to Adelaide. And I met him at North Adelaide Football Club with Jacko one night. We were doing a show there. We did a show there and it was so popular, they booked one for the next night and sold it out. Jacket when he was at his peak.
Yep.
So Max, I didn't know him from a bar of soap. And got to know him a bit, yada, yada, yada. So one night I'm at Braestead, all right? And by this stage, his reputation has grown as a person you don't do business with, all right? And he was on Channel 7, Channel 7?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm walking along, coming back from the toilet or something, and he's leaning on the bar with a couple of mates. And as I walk past, he's leaned out and grabbed my tie and pulled me towards him. I won't tell you what happened, but I slapped his hand away. Don't ever, you know. Mm. Oh, yeah. I said, don't do that shit to me.
Mm.
He said, I want Jacko. I used to do a Sunday morning or Sunday show on Channel 7, sports show.
Mm.
He said, I want Jacko on there.
Jacko, he said, I don't like the prick.
I said, well, you know. And they never paid in those days. Right. And I think back in those days, this was 32 years ago. I said, he'll do it, but it's, you know, $500 or whatever. And they never paid, but uh-huh. they paid Jacko because he was such a big name.
Yeah.
So we've turned up there. Mark knew him from Melbourne, wasn't big on him. I didn't know anything about him in those days. I just knew the, you know, bad reputation. So Mark's gone up. We got in there on Sunday morning and he started talking to Mark and just having a normal chat. And then he asked Mark, what do you think of Doug Thomas? Mark said, who's Doug Thomas? He said, Doug Thomas, state footballer. You know? He said, well, I don't fucking know who Doug Thomas is. I played in the VFL. You know? So he said, Doug Thomas, right? You know what the little bastard did? He brought out Doug Thomas. He was in the next room listening.
Oh.
And it was on. He set it up, right? And Doug was saying, how many state games are you playing? He said, I've never seen you in the VFL. They had a real, you know, and I thought, you little shit.
Yeah.
He was a dreadful little character. But he's paid us the money. I got the money. Yeah. But, yeah, I know a lot of people work with him at Channel 7. That, yeah,
not good things.
No,
to say.
No, yeah. Not happy. Not happy. Yeah.
Setups.
And how much longer can you do it for? 52 years and a bit in the gig, right?
I'm going to keep doing the speakers.
Yep.
And I'm going to keep doing a few things. I've got a mate that's bought into my business with me, and he's a good muso. He's 52. Terrific bloke, him and his wife. And he's going to take care of all the bands, DJs, all that sort of stuff. So I'm just going to do speakers. So I'm going to pull back a little bit.
Half a step.
I'm getting old.
Yeah.
It's time to put the cue in there. Before I go, I just want to mention one particular person, and this is not happy day stuff. His name's Lino. I don't know how to spell his surname. And Lino runs the walk to the Adelaide Oval for Port Power.
Oh, yeah.
No such thing as Port Power, mate.
Or whatever they're called.
It's Port Adelaide.
Yeah, okay. Port you know, the walk, they've got a band playing, they'll never tear us apart. Right, and they start in the mall and go.
So oh, yeah, yeah.
He was booking people off me to do the walk with them. You know, just, you know, Barry Hall did it. They all did it. Up until they get to the railway station, they've got about 15 people. And then they join the people who, oh, we had 3,000 people. They're going across the bridge anyway.
You know,
the band of it. Anyway. You know, and I got warned about him. I said, well, don't do business with him. So Barry Hall's in town to do a gig for them, right?
Yep.
And he's doing pretty good up until now. Okay? And we were doing one up one of the pubs in the hills. Saturday afternoon, the game was on Sunday. He rang me up and said, oh, we can't go ahead tomorrow. I said, what do you mean you can't go ahead? I said, airfares, he's here, you know, ready to do it. No, can't do it. I said, well, you've got to pay. I'll work that out later on. I said, we'll work it out now. I said, he's here in town from Queensland to do a gig, you know, got to get paid. Well, the little rat didn't pay me. So I rang up Richo at the Port Adelaide Football Club, Matt Richardson. He said, Terry, you're not dealing with that guy. I said, Richo said, you don't do business with him. You know? And all this is starting to unfold now. All right?
Yep.
So the Port Adelaide Football Club, this is the amazing thing, the Port Adelaide Football Club don't want to know about him.
Right.
And all these people that are sponsoring him think he's involved with the Port Adelaide Football Club. They don't want anything to do with him. He's running this thing on his own.
Right.
I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
The Crows, they approach the Crows, and the Crows say, stay away, we're not interested.
Yeah.
And then I find out this bloke's rap sheet and everything. Anyway, he's done me. I got some of it back, but he still owes me a grand. But I just thought I'd give him a touch up. What a wonderful, wonderful person he is.
Let people know.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, mate, we appreciate your time. I know you're a busy man, mate.
That's right, mate.
So,
and thanks for having me, boys. I enjoy this.
Oh, mate, I'm sure there'll be a part three because we've only just scratched the surface on the people you know, mate.
It's all good for business. And the good thing, I'm relaxed with you guys because I know you.
Although, just shows we're all moving into the dinosaur age, doesn't it, mate? So,
Well, as Sam says, we're in the Saturdays and Sundays of our lives. Which we are, aren't we?
Saturday and Sundays.
Yeah. I think I've got foot in Monday morning. I'm coming back again. Yeah. I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens.
Is Greg Ritchie doing Mahatma at the...
I'd love to do it, but can't do it. He'd love to do it too.
He's a great guy too.
He's a great guy to get out in the grog with.
Gee, we had some times. We had some, the funniest, if I can just finish with that, that you can, with Greg. Fine. With Greg, when he was on 5AA with Hook and myself and whatever, the funniest time I had in my time in radio was that hour and a half that I would speak to him on the Thursday morning about what he's talking about on Thursday night. We would cry. We were crying on the phone, you know, whatever. And KG would say things to me like, "Right, well, what's he going to do tonight? What, you know, what's he going to say? What, you know, what?" Just go, KG. Just go.
He rang me one day, and he was about to go on air, and he's in the toilet having a whatever. And he said, Terry, I've got to go on air, And he used to come as he was a Russian weightlifter, Bolokov or whatever he called
him. That's him. Yeah.
And he got the voice from me. He said, "Do that voice, do that." And I do that voice. He said, that's it. He forgot how it goes. He worked a lot of material. We worked together while we were going along.
Exactly. That's how he was. Exactly how he was. We would
do that voice.
We would talk about what's going on that night, and I would say something to him, and he'd go, Yes. Let's do that. But don't tell KG.
I have KG in tears, mate. It was the one, everyone I knew, and I was the same. You'd wait, I can't remember, it was a Thursday night.
There you go.
You'd go, he's on between 5 and 5.30. And no matter where you were, you go, don't ring me, don't talk, I've got to listen.
I'd turn up the football clubs, and the coach would come over and say, "I'm tired of this prick." He said, "Why?" He said, "I'm trying to get him out on the track." And they're all saying, "Wait a minute, they're all up in the
park." That is so true. We used to have people ring me. I had a guy come into the studio one day, because we had some sort of issue with the system or whatever, and we couldn't get Greg.
Oh.
Right? We had a guy come in to the, and the receptionist rang me and said, "Barry, someone's at reception to see you."
Yeah.
You know, so there we go. Must be a bloke from volleyball or something, wants to get on the show.
Darts Australia.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's right. So I went out there, and it's a guy with a broken radio, a broken little tranny on radio. And he said, "What?" He goes, "You owe me a new radio." "How do I owe you a new radio, mate?" He threw it.
Oh, because Mahatma wasn't on?
Because Mahatma wasn't on. He threw it in his garage.
Was he serious?
So, yeah, he was serious. We owe him. Because I had blokes ring him up and say, "Mate, I nearly had a head on." Listening to him on the way home. But he said people would drive into their driveway and just sit in their car for 20 minutes before they went inside the house.
And some of the situations, like, we'd been at lunch and we were drunk as a monkey, would be in the country, right? And he'd go on air and do it, and it was even funnier because we'd been drinking or whatever. Yeah. It was very funny. But they were good. You think about that. These peanuts have taken all that fun away. Yeah. For what reason?
No reason.
Well, as Ricky today says, it's a joke.
There's no legitimate reason. It's the biggest load of rubbish that I've ever heard, because that guy was a genuine artist and a funny one. He's not a racist. He never has been. Most of the people that say these things aren't racist anyway. Mm. That people just sort of say it for the sake of saying it. I'm over it all, mate. And I think a lot of people.
Remember, he used to come on as the gay guy.
Yeah.
But what was his name?
Oh, but he had four or five people that he could do.
Very funny.
Standing on his head.
Yeah.
And they were funny. Yeah. Funny.
Bolokov. Something Bolokov was the Russian weightlifter.
Well, I always open the shows now, not when I'm working for you, because you might get me into trouble, but I always say, listen, if there's anything I say today that's going to upset or offend anyone in any way whatsoever, I couldn't give up.
No, you've said
that's exactly how I open up now.
Kevin used to, my brother used to come out and say, "So I've had a few requests, but I'm going to do this anyway."
Well, there was a guy called Cole Elliott. Fuck off. You know Cole Elliott.
I know Cole.
I just watched a show. He's a comedian, Australian comedian, and a good one too. And he started telling these jokes. He said, "You know, you can't tell that any. I can't tell you about the two blokes walking down," and he would tell the joke. He said, "You can't tell that anymore." And then he would tell another one, "Say, you can't tell that anymore."
I booked Kevin to tour with him around Australia for years, all right? And he used to say to Kevin, "Look, you're really good, but don't get any better." Because Kevin used to warm the crowd up for him. Kevin was really good.
He was good.
Yeah.
I got Kevin, though.
The one joke that Kevin stole, one of his jokes, he used to come out and say, "I love my wife." He said, "I've been married for 25 years. He said, "She's just the best thing in the world." He said, "I wouldn't trade my wife for anything. But if anyone's got a gearbox or a 59 Valiant..." Kevin used to use a gearbox for 59.
he was a funny bloke. I got him that time going up the stairs at Alderton with the shoes.
Oh, know. Kevin, that was the best, one of the best jokes you've ever told. But you can't tell that on air.
I loved it.
Because it won't make sense. But no, it's, it's one of my favourites.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a brilliant
And joke. You told it very well. Yeah. Barry's a very, very funny man.
Very clever. Mm. Oh, very clever. Mm. Yes.
They were good luncheons.
Yeah. Fantastic lunches, mate. Mm. Always good to see you.
No, thanks for having me.
Don't be frightened to ring me.
I'm telling you, if you need... Yeah, don't be frightened. No, he's after some good people. Vegas Promotions. If you need someone, they are without doubt. High quality stuff. Terry, always great to catch
thanks,
up.
Thanks, guys.
Still a fireside chat when we catch up, mate.
Yeah, good to catch you, mate.
Good on you, mate.
Good to see you, pal.
See you, mate.
Good to see you again, mate.
Now, folks. Get up, mate. You want to do it all the time. Like, share, subscribe. That really helps us out. Don't worry about what Baz says. Like, share, subscribe.